All right, church, good morning.
Good morning.
So I think I've met everybody here, but if you don't know me, or just to remind you, my name's Tom Kelby. I worship at the church that Joey and Leanne were at in Spooner, part of Table Fellowship, our group of churches. And I have the privilege of being able to be here for, I think, two more times in the next month. So I'm really looking forward to it. And this also works out for me because I have family that lives down here. And so it's working out that I get to have lunch with them after this today. So really looking forward to it. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into God's Word. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have it. We don't have to wonder what you would say to us. We know it. You've given it to us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts today and you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I am in the book of Psalms. So if you have your Bible, open up to the book of Psalms. And we are going to be in Psalms 131 today. This is in a section of the book of Psalms, and these are called the Psalms of Ascent, or you could say Songs of Ascent. So from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, there's a little heading, and you can see it at the top of each one of them. It says a song of ascents. So ascent is going up. And so this chunk of songs all got put together. And one of the signs it is, we're just kind of be laying out pieces before we actually go through the song. But one of the things this tells us, the fact that they're all gathered together, is that the songs in the Psalter, the book of Psalms, were arranged in a particular order. And all the ones that say at the very beginning of it, a song of ascents, were all gathered together and put into one spot. So that thought of going up somewhere, it doesn't say where in the little title, but the idea for Jewish people is when they talked about going to Jerusalem, they would say going up to Jerusalem. When they talk about going, because Jerusalem, it's not just because I want to go to the big city. It's because that's the city of the great king, and that's where the temple is. So these are songs people sang, as you think about it, as they would go in pilgrimage, maybe Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, up to Jerusalem. We have them because we are people traveling similarly to New Jerusalem. And we are on a journey. So these are songs that fit with people who are on a journey. And there are times when we have certain things that happen. For instance, we're going to see somebody in a hospital and we're explaining to somebody this is why we're doing what we're doing, trying to get people into a mindset before they walk into a room, for instance. And we might say, hey, we're going to see so-and-so and here's the situation. So want you to, like if we're talking to kids, speak this way or act this way. These songs are telling us this is an appropriate way for people who are on this journey to be singing and thinking. And we're picking one of them today. So people who are on a journey to New Jerusalem, and that would be every Christian. I am going somewhere. This is not my final home. I'm on a journey. And my journey is not exactly as I thought it was going to go. And every single person would say your life has looked like that so far. It has not been exactly like you thought it would go. So I'm going to read this here. Psalm 131, a song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. If you are somebody who writes in your Bible, or you just taking notes as I look at this, the psalm can be broken. Verses 1 and 2 are different from verse 3, because 1 and 2, it's one person talking. And then in verse 3, that one person is calling a whole group of people to respond together. So it's a psalm of David. So the picture is the king is talking. And this would be similar to we are not the king, but we are following a king, the Lord Jesus. And this is similar to we get in situations at times where we are panicked. And it could be a small thing, like we're at the mechanic and our car is making a horrible noise. And you are freaking out because you're just imagining dollar bill signs going everywhere. And the mechanic looks like, I'm not nervous. And you kind of look at him like, have you heard this before? And he's like, we hear it all the time. It's this. So we've all experienced something like that. Or you talk to a doctor, and the doctor, you said, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And what the last thing we want is the doctor to look as freaked out as we are. What we want them to look like is, yeah, I've seen this before, and maybe are you also experiencing this, but they say it in a way that it feels like, oh, you know what I'm talking about. It's going to be okay. So we're following a king, and we even prayed it earlier. Our king is a high priest who he's a man, and he knows and he's experienced everything we've experienced, yet without sin. So verses 1 and 2 are the king talking, and the king is on the same journey we're on. So even think about this, that part in Jesus' journey where it says, from that day forward, he set his eyes on Jerusalem, like his direction, his focus, we're going there. And it says the people before him were astonished and those behind him were afraid. Like, everybody's like, wait a minute, you're going to Jerusalem. They want to kill you. And you've got the king who says, I know where I'm going, and that is what we're doing. And so people are going with him, but they're not in the same mindset. They're deeply troubled. So starting out, it says here, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great, too marvelous for me. I think Charles Spurgeon said something like this. This is one of the easiest psalms to read. It's very short. One of the hardest to put into practice. So the idea here is this. A person who has things in front of them, and the things in front of that person, they can't control. But they're acting like they can control them. And it is winding them up like a tight ball of nerves. You've all experienced that, right? I can't fix this. I can't do a thing about this. So this, my heart is not lifted up. Yahweh, my heart is not lifted up. And the theme here in this psalm, you can't see it in English, but it says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. In Hebrew, how it would say it would be not, Yahweh, not lifted up is my heart. So the word not is emphasized. And so the idea is not raised up are my eyes. Not focusing on things too great and marvelous for me. Too great and marvelous doesn't mean, wow, I'm thinking about things that are just so wonderful. It's saying, thinking about things that I actually are too marvelous being, I can't control them. So something like this, I can't control what other people do. That's beyond me. That's a skill that God hasn't given to people, something within them. We don't have that control. We don't have the control over nations and what is happening in nations. We don't have a control over the economy and something like that. So what we see here is somebody who is saying, I am not lifting up my heart to an area which is in not my realm of responsibility. But that's the challenge of being human, is we do that all the time. We lift ourselves up to a spot, and God would say, I didn't give you that to know. So what's going to happen here? If I'm convinced if we knew the future of those immediate things, it would be something that we couldn't handle. God has given us what we can handle. But the king here speaking, the person speaking, is saying, I haven't lifted my soul up beyond the measure of what you've given to me as a human. So just thinking about my life, thinking about things, or you thinking about your life, thinking about things like that get you wound up, stirred up. You say, okay, what gets you wound up, stirred up? The future. You wound up, stirred up. Health would get you wound up, right? And there's a rightness of those things. Like, we should be praying about things to come. We should be praying about health for each other, for ourselves. We want that's health is a good thing. You're going to be going through the book of 1 John. It's something, as John writes his further epistles, he's saying, I pray you might be in good health. We think about all sorts of things, finances and things, but there's things we'd say, but I can't ultimately do anything about that. I am stuck with me. And how often do I need to remind myself, it's God that I have. God, I'm not putting myself to a spot where I would need God-like power to control this. So I'm lowering my expectation in that sense down to, I'm not lifting my heart up to a spot where it doesn't belong. So he says here, my heart is not lifted up to something too wonderful for me, too big for me, something I can't control. My eyes are not raised too high as if I had power to change something here. He says here, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. Actually, if you wrote it in your Bible, it's not exactly what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew has something, and it would be the equivalent of a curse formula. And they do this. So this is what the curse formula is like. It would be like if, say, Don and Debbie, they invited me to lunch. And let's say I'd promised to go to lunch with them a bunch of times, but I never showed up, okay? They're wondering, can they trust me? Can they not trust me? Older, like years ago, people would say, if you want to prove it to somebody, like you've not been trustworthy, you'd add a formula to it, like what can I say that would convince them? And way back in the day, people would say, I swear on my mother's grave that I will be there. And that's supposed to put an end to the discussion. Like, but I've just, so many times I've failed, I take a curse in that sense on myself, like, if that it's so important to me, I will be there, that this is what I'm doing. Well, this is what, so this is what happens in verse 2. He's saying, if not, I've quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. And then he doesn't finish the curse formula. But the curse formula is, may the curse of the covenant fall on me. So that's the picture. And so it actually is a positive. It's a positive. I am coming to lunch with you. But it sounded like a, whoa, why did you just go there? But this psalm is telling us, as a human, I recognize my propensity to worry. And I have made a vow, I won't. I won't lift my soul up to things I can't control. I won't pretend I'm God. That's what so it's saying that the author deliberately said, I can't do anything about that. And you think about the Lord Jesus when he lived here on earth. And there were things you'd say when he came here, living as a human, he would say, even the sun does not know the day or the hour, that sort of thing. There were things that you'd say, he lived as a human, said, I don't know this. What did he know? God is on my side. God is good. I know his plans. Somebody said it praying. I think, Virginia, you said it. He's got you. That thought, even though you're saying at the same point, there will be things you will face, that the fear is it's going to wind me up and I'm going to go to places that won't be helpful for me. So this song that God's people will sing as they're ascending to Jerusalem is a song that's intended to get you, like that doctor in the waiting room when somebody's pouring out their things and the doctor's saying, yeah, and I bet you have this also. Like, is this happening also? And he's not freaked out. Or the auto mechanic that he hears it and you go, have you ever heard that before? I go, yeah, I've heard it. And we have a solution for that. So that those feelings of comfort you get on the earthly side, and your car is not an ultimate thing, and you go, I'll get another car someday or whatever, and you go, I'm not taking it to heaven with me. Maybe I'm super glad I'm not taking that car to heaven. But your soul is. Your soul is really important. And say, how do I keep it from getting stirred into a knot, and I'm waking up in the morning and going to bed at night, and I'm never at peace? And some of us live like that. It's a tendency for all people. And a reason we get there, this psalm is teaching us, is because sometimes we go to a spot that we'd say, wait a minute, God, this is your territory. This is, I'm not lifting my eyes up to where you are. And so just think about certain things in your life, like, I can't be happy and content unless this person changes. Anybody ever had that? That's your thought. Is that true, ultimately?
No.
It's not true. I can't be happy unless this situation changes, my health. Is that actually true, either? Do people, are people able to live joyful lives with poor health?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Okay, I can't live happy unless X happens. And go, okay, this is all in God's territory. What is in my territory? This psalm is saying, it's that, God, I will be who you called me to be. I will quiet my soul like, and the example, look at the example it uses. I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Baby screaming for milk, like, I can't be content unless I get milk now. The weaned child is, actually, I'm past that stage, and I know God will give me, or my mom will give me food at the right moment. But I can tell you about myself, a tendency I have forgetting this is being more like the baby, give me what I want right now, God. And what I want is, I know I need an answer about X and X and X and X. Say, I have to deliberately say, no, I won't do that because you're God and I know you see all these things. And that's what it says about prayer, right? Your Father knows what you need even before you ask. So there's things that I don't know what to pray for, but God knows. Almost like you do with your children, grandchildren, you say, I do know what they need and they don't know this is a thing, but I'm on it. I'm already on it. So if you're thinking, well, wow, it depends on me moving things. I've had all sorts of things I've tried to move in my life. I can't make change. But God is in control. And so he says, again, it's an oath. Have not I calmed and quieted my soul? I have. Now, how do I calm and quiet my soul? It can be, one way we do it is like, I'm just using Don because he's sitting right here. He's nervous about something. I just go, just settle down. How effective is that? That doesn't work at all. What's going to settle him down? The doctor going, just settle down. You go, that's not going to work. What would work? Some piece of knowledge that would go with the in the medical room. I've seen 15 of these this year I did 4 surgeries this morning on that. They've all gone really well. And then all of a sudden, okay, you mean I don't need to freak out? Doctor saying, no, you don't. So here, notice the end of it, verse 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord. What would settle my soul down? How do I put it in check so I'm not like that baby screaming, give me now? And he's saying, hope in the Lord. Well, how much should I hope in the Lord? Notice the end of it. From this time forth and forevermore. Okay, so I love talking earlier to Virginia, and you were talking about your birthday coming up.
Yeah.
And you said, if the Lord grant,
if
God's in it.
He's got to be with it.
Okay, so that thought of the hoping in the Lord is this. God's going to have to get me there. And I'm trusting in him. What about this relationship? It's all gone south. God, I'm trusting in you. And you are going to work here. I believe you. But can I make it in my own willpower come out the way I want? Say, no, that's beyond Tom's ability. That would be a godlike power to change hearts. I can't do that. Can I force myself to get a new job? Go, no, I can't do that. Like, I will get this job and go, they may have an uncle who already signed them up for the, you know what I mean? Those weird things of like, wow, I couldn't force that. So what can I do? What is the weaned child trusting in as he leans against his mom? She always feeds me when I need food. I don't need to cry like a baby. This song God's people are singing as they're going to New Jerusalem is the song of people where the rest of the world is crying out like, give me what I need now. You have a very content people who are saying, yeah, I still have needs. I still have things going on. But I'm putting my hope in God. Right now and forevermore. And I'll do it in days where it seems like everything's going great, and in days when it seems like the wheels have fallen off the bus, and it seems like I've pulled into the mechanic shop, and like, my engine is blowing up, and the mechanic doesn't throw his arms in the air. We've never seen this before. He says, pull it into the bay.
Yep.
And you go, okay, you've seen this before? Yep, I have. In fact, the Lord Jesus lived it. So the encouragement here would be this, for me, for you. All of us have things that would, the reason we need a psalm like this is we have reasons we do lift ourselves up to that God-like spot. Even though we're not God and we know it, but we want to be God in this situation. I'm going to force this thing to happen. I haven't lifted up my eyes too high. I'm not acting like I can make the world do what I want. In fact, that would be like the baby screaming, I'm going to make my mom feed me. I'm like a weaned child. What am I hoping in? I'm hoping in you, God. There is a spot here, though, that I would say as we come to communion, that for those of us who would say, wait a minute, I've lived in that spot, though. I'm more like the baby who's not weaned. I'm screaming all the time for my milk. The reason we have a psalm like this is so that we would repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I haven't trusted in you in that spot of, it's not saying your things don't matter. Take your whole list. And our list is always longer than we even know it is. But that thing, it's not saying it's matter, but Lord, I have acted as if I'm in charge. And I'm not in charge. You're in charge. And I trust you. And it doesn't mean I won't have to put it down. And this psalm is almost a reminding yourself constantly, like, I am going to put it down. And to go back to my example, like, if my example was, I've said 47 times I'm going to lunch with these guys and I never show, I need to live like the person who takes an oath and says, I swear on my mother's grave, I'll be there. So in this context, I swear I will not put my trust in myself and lift my eyes to a God-like level. I swear I will live trusting God. And because of that, I need to repent at times where I have acted like it. And because I'm not God, it will never work. And I will just keep wound up like that. So, Michael, are you you're leading communion, correct?
Correct.
I feel like for all of us, this, so for me, for the rest of us, this is, it's fit with songs we've sung today. It's fit with things I've heard you praying for each other. This thought of how do we recalibrate our life and say, Lord, I'm sorry for areas I've acted like I'm in charge, and I'm not. And it's got me wound up. And I just want to acknowledge my trust in you because of the work of Jesus and your place. Help me live my life that way. So, Michael, I'll turn it over to you. But again, that thought of a song of ascents, what's the kind of song you would want to sing on the way up? I'd say, I'd want to sing a song that dealt with my life as it is. Like in reality, and the reality is God saying, I know what you got in your life, but I am God. So let me be God and quit trying to be that yourself.